I want to talk to you about your spiritual inheritance. And that's really very, very important. And you know, when you talk about that as a preacher, somebody thinks, well, what he's going to talk about, he's going to talk about like our inheritance of going one day to heaven. Well, now, actually, for a believer, we have two inheritances. We have the spiritual inheritance. In fact, the Bible talks about that in the book of Hebrews. I'll just mention where the verse is, and you might remember and want to read a little later. But in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, the Bible tells us that those who have received the Lord Jesus, the Bible says they will receive their eternal inheritance. Now, that's talking about heaven. So we know that's our ultimate, that's the glory of the whole deal. One day, all of us will go, hopefully, and be with the Lord. We will, knowingly, if we've trusted Jesus. Now, that's our eternal inheritance. But now I want to talk to you today about the other inheritance that we have as a believer, and not much emphasis is really placed on this, and I'll tell you in a moment or two what brought this to my mind, but I'm going to call it our earthly inheritance. Now, we don't think much about that. In the material life, sometimes as parents, we make gifts to our children. Maybe they're going to buy a home, or they may be trying to get a kid in college or whatever it might be. And many times I've heard parents say, well, we just are going on and giving them some of their inheritance in advance. Now, John's sitting here listening, and Joel will hear about what I say. Dottie and I have never even thought about a thing like that. I mean, they'll get what's coming in due time. But this earthly inheritance. Now, if you look with me on page 567, there are many verses in the Bible. I wrestled with this yesterday. I knew what I wanted to do today, but I didn't really know how I wanted to get into it from Scripture. And I finally decided I'm going to use this verse in Proverbs chapter 10 on page 567, down in verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 6. And here's what the verse says. And there are many parallel verses to this in the Bible. It says, blessings are on the head of the righteous. You say, well, now, what is that talking about? Well, that's talking about this earthly inheritance that I want to talk to you about today. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't think about it, if something doesn't bring it to your attention, you miss seeing your inheritance that you even have in this life. Thinking, well, one day when I go to be with the Lord, I'll be in heaven and that'll be my eternal inheritance. Well, that's right. But we have this inheritance. And there are many verses in the Bible. I thought yesterday, maybe using the verse, we won't turn to it, but over in John chapter 10, you've heard this verse so many times in verse number 10, where Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's John chapter 10, verse number 10. It's one of my very favorite verses in the entire Gospel of John. In fact, Jesus says the thief comes not to steal and to kill, but to destroy. He says, I've come. Here's why Jesus said he came, that they might have life. And that word life is the word zoe, which means a special kind of life. Talking about the spiritual life. It's different than just life as you and I think about the physical life. Talking about an abundant life, that's the word it uses. They might have it more abundantly. The word abundantly tries to explain the word zoe. You know, I mean, life is life physically. But when you talk about the abundant life, we're talking about our earth inheritance. And that's why Jesus said he had come. The Bible tells us over in the book of Psalms that God gives to each one according to his work. In other words, as we live our life here, the things we do position us to experience the earthly, spiritual inheritance that God has for us in this very life. I love a verse in Jeremiah. Let me just read it to you. In Jeremiah chapter 17, God says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. That's what we, as we live life every day, we do these doings. And God's watching, and as he sees us doing the things we should do, according to what his word teaches, he's going to bless us even in this life with what I'm referring to as our things our earthly inheritance. And, you know, the point that I want to make today, and what's really in my heart, and I'm about to illustrate it, is that we may, if we're not careful, we may miss seeing our earthly inheritance. Now, when we think about our material inheritance, for example, when both of my mom and dad passed away, you know, then the children, we gather and the will tells how things are going to be, and you see what your material inheritance is going to be. At the same way when Dottie's parents went to be with the Lord. Well, to be honest, I have no idea. I really didn't. I mean, I'd never asked mom and dad, like, you know, are you going to leave us anything? I mean, I figured daddy would kill me if I said that. And to be honest, I never thought anything about it. I just never, that just wasn't something on my mind. In their retired years, they did spend a lot of our inheritance, I can assure you that. And rightly so, because that's why they'd worked so very hard. But if a person is not careful, and I'm guilty of this often, I have much earthly inheritance spiritually in this very life, and I don't dwell on that very much. In fact, I say we may miss seeing it. I fear that we not only may miss seeing it, I fear that we do miss seeing it. And that, I just speak from my own heart. Maybe you're already plugged into this, and you say, you know, I'm very well aware. Well, the whole bottom line is, one day for believers, we're going to go to heaven. God's word promises us that. God wants to bless us on the journey getting there. And God does bless us in many different ways on the road to getting there. And we oftentimes miss seeing those blessings. And I'm calling that our spiritual earthly inheritance. Now, let me illustrate what really got all this going on. You know, whatever you do in life, you learn things. You experience things. We all do, wherever we go. On our second journey that we had while we had our 2 weeks off, back a little over a year ago when we had the very horrible flood here, and we sure need to pray for the people in the Carolinas, that thing has turned into a disaster. And I just saw a little fresh clip of that on the TV, what's happening there. And pray for those that are helping. I'll be sharing with the church Sunday ways I think that God will allow us to help, and sharing ways people can pray about themselves, getting involved with Samaritan's Purse. I don't know how familiar you are with Samaritan's Purse. You know, that's Franklin Graham's kind of vision and deal. But like Samaritan Purse, they've had teams in Houston that they say will be here at least one more year and maybe another year and a half working. And they have a great appeal now for people to go and help and join with them and for resources to help. And so, you know, I think that, you know, our church wants to do the right thing, as many did us. Now, one of the most amazing things is during the flood, the city asked us to be a distribution center down the gym, and we did. But in addition to that, people began to send money to the church to be used to help with needs, not just for our church, but where the needs were. And it's amazing. We receive gifts from other churches and other places and other people that, you know, I mean, some just said, I just feel like y'all will do the right thing and we're going to send this check. The largest church gift that we received from any church came from the church, the First Baptist Church of Mount Vernon, Texas. Now, you may not know where that is. If you ever heard of Dandy Don Meredith? Y'all know Dandy Don? You remember on Monday Night Football, you used to talk about old Dandy Don could throw the ball from Mount Vernon to Mount Pleasant? Well, all right, well, that's where I was. Well, the First Baptist Church of Mount Vernon, very fine church. Little town probably, I'm guessing that town maybe has, now I should have looked at the population sign, maybe 6,000, 8,000 people. I don't know. It's a small little East Texas town, but a very fine church and a very fine little town. But be that as it may, that church, just one Sunday morning, hearing about this flood, and a person or two in that church had known me back when I was in Sulphur Springs and had kind of stayed connected with me. That church sent our church, well, I didn't even know they would do it. They just took up a love offering one Sunday morning, and they sent us $16,871 and some odd cent check. It just blew my mind. And ever since then, I've wanted to go back personally and thank the church. And I'd planned to do it last December, and I had a medical issue, and I couldn't do it. And it very much disappointed me. And they knew I'd planned to do it, and they didn't really know why I didn't do it. They just knew I had an issue, and I didn't go into detail. But be that as it may, I told Dottie, I said, now, Dottie, on this vacation we're going, I want one of the part of it, I want to go to First Baptist Church, Mount Vernon, and thank the church. All I wanted to do is just get up and say, church, I want to just say to you, you were very gracious. Now, if a little old church to take up a love offering once more, 16,871, that's a pretty good little Sunday morning love offering. Well, I mean, some of you Methodists, it would be just unbelievable. But I can see some of you are staring like we never heard of such a thing. Now, let me tell you, that's why you don't want to be a Baptist. We just liable to lift an offering just at any time. But I contacted the pastor. I just asked him if I could come and thank the church. And I told him the Sunday we could be there. And I said, now, if it won't fit, that's okay. I'm going to come to your church that Sunday, whether I thank the church or not. And he said, well, this would be wonderful. Now, would you do me a favor? I said, well, I'll do anything you want. What do you want? He said, would you preach? And I said, well, I'm actually on vacation. And he said, well, you don't have to get up a new sermon. My folks have never heard your stuff, so way to go. I said, well, actually, I just really would like to just thank the church. And he said, well, I really would appreciate it. I think the church would. So we preached there, and I was glad to do so. And it was a great morning. In fact, it's interesting. Six folks were saved last that Sunday morning in that church, which for, you know, I guess that morning they had maybe about 500 people in church places. It's a strong First Baptist church in a very small town. But anyway, I went there to preach. Now here's what happened. Right before the service started, the preacher said to me, to my knowledge, I only knew two people in the building. I knew three people in the building. He said, now, you see this order of worship. I looked at it, and I thought, boy, this is a long bunch of singing here. And I'm way down here. I wonder what time this place normally gets out. That's what's in my mind as a preacher. He said, now, this lady is going to sing right before you preach here. And he said, now, the interesting thing about this lady is today's her birthday, and she's 50 years old. And he said, but the interesting thing about this is, and we didn't plan it this way, she was already scheduled to sing before we knew you were coming. When she was a little girl, back in Sulphur Springs, Texas, you led her to the Lord and baptized her. I thought, well, you know, that's interesting. And I thought, well, now, you know, that was kind of, for me, like one of my spiritual blessings. I thought, well, I declare. And she came up after the service and reminded me of that incident. Well, then, when church got over, of course, people were going their various ways and whatever, but a fella came up to me. I don't know what his age was, but he had kids with him, and they were pretty good-sized kids. They weren't little kids. But I didn't know this guy. He came up and he said, now, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, well, no, I'm sorry to say. I don't. But I said, I'm sure I should. He said, no, you really shouldn't. He said, first I want to introduce you to my son, and a little boy, kind of a little teenage boy, and another little boy, a little girl. And he said, now, let me tell you who I am. He told me who he was. And he said, now, the reason I wanted to speak to you, he said, I'm just so glad that I get this opportunity. He said, when I was 9 years old, you came to my house, shared how to become a Christian, and led me to ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me, and you baptized me, and I've waited 30-something years to thank you. I thought, wow. This coming down to Mount Vernon was more than just thanking the church. I'm just getting kind of a reminder that, you know, do you ever wonder, has your life made any difference? Have any of you ever think about that? You don't? I'll talk about that next Tuesday, all right? That'd be a good sermon right there. Well, when you've done what I've done, as long as I've done it, I think it'd be true no matter what you look back on your life, and you think, well, you know, I've preached a bunch of sermons and I've led to build buildings and I've done all this stuff. But really, bottom line, has this stuff mattered at all? Well, man, I'm being bombarded. Here's this beautiful lady singing this solo. And then, the blessings are not over. Now, one family that I know in that church is Judge Lanny and Kitty Ramsey. Judge Ramsey was the district judge over a huge area down in East Texas back when I was at First Baptist Church, Sulphur Springs, which is the county seat. And so he had a circuit, these places he went, and Judge Ramsey would come to the courthouse, very beautiful courthouse in Sulphur Springs up on the square. And I've known Judge Ramsey for over 30 years, and he's just one of the finest Christian men I've ever known. I knew his father. His father was a great leader in the First Baptist Church, Mount Vernon, and Judge Ramsey now is, and they're just wonderful people. And off and on over these years, we've had little, contact from hither and time. But be that as it may, his wife, Kitty, comes up to me at the end of the service and said, look, I have a book I meant to give you, and I left the thing at home. And she said, but you're going to go visit a family this afternoon. I know where you're going, and you'll be there an hour or two, and I'm just going to drive to that home and lay the book on the front porch. And I'm not even going to bother to knock on the door. You visit with the people you've got. But, and when you leave, you get that book. You said you were going to San Diego, which is where we were going. And maybe you could read the book on the plane. And so I said, well, that's very kind. And I really kind of forgot all about the book until we got ready to leave the home and walked out the front door, and there's the book laying right there. You couldn't miss it. Little bitty book, not a very big book. The title of that book was Make Your Bed. I never heard of the book, but it wasn't a very, I thought, I'll just throw that in my briefcase and look at that while we're flying to San Diego. And I did, and here's the bottom line of that. That's the most overwhelming book. That book, was written by a retired Admiral Navy SEAL. In fact, that's where we went. We went where they trained the SEALs. I'll tell you another thing about seeing some of that take place. But anyway, this man, Admiral William McRaven, who gave the commencement speech at the University of Texas in 2017 and was fearful that the students, not having the greatest respect for the military and other things, would not be very receptive. And his speech was so well received that it just went over social media, absolutely unbelievable. And he wrote this book called Make Your Bed. And what the book is, it just tells about lessons he learned. That's what his graduation speech was about. And it's in the back of the book. Lessons he learned training and being in the SEALs that have made him successful, he feels, in his life. This book just absolutely, I read the whole book before we got to San Diego. And I told Dottie when we got there, I said, when we fly back, you just got to read this book back. And yesterday I ordered 100 of these to put in our bookstore, and I'll make them available to you as well. It's the most absolutely fantastic thing that I would have loved to have heard the speech, but I read the book. But be that as it may, what made it so ironic, we were going where they trained the SEALs, right there in San Diego. I mean, we were at the hotel next to it. So as I thought about that, I thought, I just went to Mount Vernon to thank a church and left with a bushel basket of my earthly spiritual inheritance. A lady that I hadn't seen all those years singing for the Lord, and this man telling me about that visit, and here Kitty is giving me this book. And then this morning, I'm working on my study here at home, and I glance down, and I have this magnificent desk at my study at home that John Kimmel, many of you old-timers remember John Kimmel. When I'd been pastor of this church 3 years, there was a man who came to his Bible lunch every week. He was not a Baptist. He was a CPA, I think, in the old Bank One building back in those days, and he died with no family. And John got some men to go over, and he didn't have any family except some distant kin folks, and they bought that desk in Cadenza and gave it to me. And to this day, every time I look at that desk, which is really every day, I think of the kindness. And then you begin to think about so many other people in your life that have been a blessing to you. They are your earthly spiritual inheritance. And I just want to encourage you, I need to be more aware and not miss the many blessings, and you do likewise, of things and people and just stuff out there that really you look at and you say, you know what, that was just one of my spiritual earthly inheritances, and I don't want to miss it. God, we live such a hurried life, we do, that we just go at such a pace that oftentimes, God, things come our way that are really earthly, our inheritance spiritually, and we just don't even see them. And God, help us be aware. Help us, God, know we're going to heaven, and we can know. But help us enjoy the journey on the way, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.